14 deacons to come and up to the front. This evening there will be an offering for the foreign field. And it seems almost like an interruption to take an offering. The Lord has blessed us so much with the way that the teaching, the method of tithing, that we really don't have to be going out and asking for money. However, this is an opportunity for us all to contribute to some of the ministry in the foreign field, which is a very important part of our work. And of course, when the brethren go overseas, they find all kinds of needs, and it would take a lot of money to supply all of them. But we thank the Lord that we can minister to some of those needs, and it's just very nice to have the money to do so. So this is our opportunity to contribute to that foreign field ministry, and that's what the offering is for tonight. If you're writing checks, it should be made payable to Global Missions, and if you put anything on the check at all, it should just say donation. So we need 14 deacons to receive the offering. Praise God. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry that you have given us in so many ways, and this is just one of them. We thank you that you've given us resources that we have the resources to carry out many of these things that we see, the needs that we see. And we just pray that all of this will be done to you, according to your will and to your honor and glory. Give us wisdom as we administer these funds. And we thank you for them. We bless the offering now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We just worship the Lord as we give. I'm reminded of an experience that Hazel and I had. We have some relatives that attend a church, another church, and they invited us to attend there, and they wanted us to sing. And the we were asking them, well, we were okay to do that, but we wanted to, how would that work? When would you? Oh, we want you to sing the offertory, which means sing while the offering is being taken up. Almost feel as though we should be doing that tonight. Sing the offertory. I shouldn't joke about that. We really appreciated fellowshipping with them, and we appreciate everyone that the Spirit has spoken to, and that everyone that has invited the Lord into their hearts, wherever, whatever their denomination might be. Praise the Lord. Well, this evening we have the privilege of being ministered to by the children. And let's consider it, let's look for the ministry in what they are doing. We thank Joe and Elizabeth Zilke for heading this up, the children's ministry, but not only Joe and Elizabeth, but all of the others, which I can't even name, who are contributing to the children's ministry. It's very, very much appreciated. These are our children, and you are looking after them for us, and it's just a wonderful blessing to have all these children. And we're going to hear them, hear what God has placed in the hearts of the leaders and also in the hearts of the children. And just look for the ministry there. It's not just entertainment, although those of us who are grandparents will definitely appreciate it more than some others, I'm sure. And we really look forward to it. But God ministers, it's been made very real in my life anyway, recently, that God ministers through everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. And we look to see the ministry. Sometimes we have to look to see it, and we all participate. Praise the Lord. So, Joe and Elizabeth and company, would you come now? And it's time for us to be blessed.
Good evening, everyone. It's been a little bit of a different week. We're kind of short in the time that we have to prepare, but the children never cease to amaze us in what they can accomplish, regardless of the time that we have. It's kind of embarrassing that Elizabeth and myself get mentioned as the people in charge or running all of this. There's so many other people involved. If you know of someone who had a hand with the children, please make sure you're giving them a big thank you. There's lots and lots of work that gets done outside of what Elizabeth and myself do, so please recognize the musicians, recognize all those people cutting with scissors to make crafts when they could be having ice cream. All those people really make this work. We are going to start with our preschoolers, and this is a large group, and you'll see them march up here and be totally amazed. So, preschoolers, could we get you to make your way to the front, please? Thank you. Yes, I already did. Do they know where they're going to stand?
Can you come and stand right here? Let's try to get the taller ones in the back. Okay, move over here to the center. I see you. You stand down. Do you want
that one? You stand on this level?
Stand right there.
stand up and you sing for joy.
Fantastic. Thanks for your patience. Brenda Rousseau spends a lot of time with these little ones. None of them are hers, but she wishes they all were hers. She's getting a little misty up here, so hopefully she can make it through. They do look fabulous. It wasn't very long ago that there was maybe 5 or 6 of these little ones up here only. So we have expanded. Some of you need to get a hobby, perhaps. But moving on. The first song that they're going to share with you is My God is So Big. Amen. Don't leave, boys. We've only just started, boys. Don't leave. Excellent. Isaiah and Selah Levsen are going to share a song with us.
Come on, buddy. Come on over here. I'm going to stand right in front of this one.
We say,
this is about God's love.
Good. We say,
wonderful.
Say, okay, this is a song about God's love.
This is a song about God's love.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Your love is like a wonderful.
Excellent. Next song. The next song the children will sing is God Will Take Care of You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Another fantastic song. Jonah Seabrook is going to share a song with us. Come on over here, Jonah. Fantastic. Jonah's singing in Canadian. When he sings in Caribbean, it goes much faster than that. Next song is Wide, Wide as the Ocean. Elizabeth Reed is going to share scripture with us.
God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Fantastic. We are moving on. Next song the children will sing is God Sees the Little Sparrow.
Thank you.
Now you can sit down.
Leah Sunbow, can you come and share your scripture, please?
Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I wad my staff and I comfort me. I prepare the table before me. My cup runneth over. Surely I'd anoint my head with oil. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And the last song that they'll share with us is Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Lincoln, do you have a song for us?
Oh, where is he? Oh, sir. Come on.
Jesus is my friend. Who is at a silent call? Jesus is my friend. I'll ask to come in a car. And my sense. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my friend.
Fantastic. Thank you. And next we have Maria. Maria Amundsen.
I love you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. All my soul rejoice and join my King and lie you here. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound.
Thank you very much, children. That was fantastic. Can we get one more round of applause for these fantastic preschoolers? Cadence Price is going to share something.
Ready?
to know.
Do you know Jesus loves me? Do you know that one?
Yeah. Jesus loves me. But I forgot how he sang it.
So I can help you. Do you want me to?
Yeah. Jesus loved the way to me so
into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Your feet in the water of his love. Oh, step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. God is an awesome God. I don't know. Our God is an awesome God. He raised heaven and the first with power. Our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. He prays from heaven and by his wisdom and power. Our God is an awesome God.
Thank you, children. Next we have all the school-age children. And before we start to make our way up, we're going to have to reorganize our little self a little bit. So, we need boys to be over on this side, and then girls are going to be on this side. Yes, I know I changed it. I know. Okay. So that's what's going to have to be. Boys, and then girls over here. Great. 6 to 12-year-olds, come on up, please.
spot in the world for you.
So, we seem to have very similar themes within the two groups, talking about God's love and how extensive it is and what a great gift that He has given us with His love. And we like to always hear that the meetings are going along the same way that our children's church is. So when we hear the brethren talking about love and how we should love others, that's encouraging. And the children come to me and they say, hey, they were talking about that in church today. And it rings home that the Spirit is really driving what's going on, and it's not people that are trying to make things happen and perform for you. So you will hear the word love many times in the song that we are going to sing. This group of children has done an amazing job. They're going to sing a lot of songs. They've memorized most of the words. We have a bunch of scripture, a bunch of songs to go along with it. It really is fantastic what they've accomplished. The first song that we will share with you is Love, Wonderful Love. For the next song, we have some older children helping us out. And you're going to hear the version of this song also in German as we go along. So, ladies, if you could come on up.
Go.
Fantastic. Thank you to those ladies for sharing their time with us. That is tremendous. We are going to have Nate. Are you going to share your scripture with us? Okay. Come on over here.
He that gathers his crop in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Proverbs 5, verse 10.
I'll tell you when, okay? Yelena, could you come down and share your scripture with us, please? Or song? Okay.
Matthew 5:43-48. You have heard the laws that say, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, and that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind to only your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pigeons do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Cassie, you have a song? No? Okay. I don't know. I thought that you were having a song. That's okay. You do have a song you could sing?
I have a song to sing, but I never desire.
Okay, that's okay. If you don't have a song, that's okay.
I have a song to sing.
Do you want
to
sing it? Okay, go ahead. Come on down.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Cassie. Amari, could you come and share your song with us, please?
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loves us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for sins, dear friends. Since God so loved us, He also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. 1 John 4:7-12.
Amen. The scripture that we heard earlier from Elena is Matthew, the 5th chapter, and unknown to her, it is on our pamphlet as one of the scriptures that we were focusing on during the week. So at the back of the tabernacle is a pink pamphlet with all of the songs that we are going to sing, and you can bring that back to your local assembly for the children there and the adults there so that you can have these songs available to you. We are moving along. The next song we're singing is The Bond of Love. Next song is The Love of God.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So some of the instruction during the week was regarding the types of love that we see through the Scripture and being able to differentiate between the regular how are you doing best friends kind of love that we see with school friends or good church friends and that kind of love. So we talked about that kind of love is kind of an equal relationship. Each partner or each person is working towards making the other person happy, right? They want to stay best friends, so they do what they can to make that happen. And then there's another kind of love, and that's the kind of love that we're trying to get forth as Christians. And it's a special kind of love, and it's a love that God showed us that's an unconditional love. Does anyone remember what the name of that type of love is? What can we say? What is it?
Agape love.
That's the kind of love that we're trying to get towards, the word agape. So we learned about that word, and that word has no conditions on it. And it's love that we would be able to show love to a person who is not our friend. And in fact, we would show enough love towards someone who is even our enemy that we would lay down our life to help them when we have that special kind of agape love. So that's some of what we were talking about. As we move on here, we are going to have a duet happening. Are the girls going to be up at the piano or down here, Lane? Okay. Alina and Callie are going to sing for us. Later. Okay. Come on over here. Do you need to see Dad? Oh no, you're good right here like this.
Unfailing love flows from his heart and heals my soul. In spite of who I am, he loves and makes me whole. I almost can't believe it's true, unfailing love, and yet I know he gave his life to give to me unfailing love. If the highest mountains turn to ashes, if the mighty rivers should run dry, should sun and moon grow dim, I still will trust in him. He's watching from above. I'm resting in his love. Unfailing love flows from his heart and heals my soul. In spite of who I am, he loves and makes me whole.
Brielle is going to share with us her scripture.
loving one another as brothers and sisters. Hebrews 13:1.
Amen. Lily, could you come down and share your scripture?
Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Amen. And Nisa, sharing your song with us, please.
We know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. We love because He first loved us. Of 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 19.
Amen. Our next group song is Behold What Manner. Our boys just love to sing so much they want to do both parts, right, guys? Yeah? Okay. All right, next group song. This is My Commandment, that you love one another.
Thank you.
Amen. When I was at the Park Valley Assembly almost a week ago, Irvin was leading the meeting, and this is the song that he led out in. And the commandment of loving one another is so very important, and we tried to share with the children that when you show love to others, you are doing God's work. It's almost impossible for us to love God back as much as He loves us. So what He wants us to do is to love others and to give our love unconditionally and a continual outpouring of that love to everyone we see, whether we know them or not. They deserve our love because He first loved us. When we have that love in our heart, often a smile comes to our face. And this song is entitled Smile a While. We'll hear from some more scripture and song. Mila, could you come and share your scripture?
Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, and your rod and thy staff, and they comfort me. They prepare the table before me. My cup overflows surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Raina, share your scripture.
Corinthians 13, verse 13. Three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love.
Reuben, can you come up and share your song, please? Yes, it's your big moment, Reuben.
Heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sunshine, hallelujah, Jesus is mine.
Since you're right there, Naomi, could you share your song with us, please?
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time. My life was in His hands. He knows. falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a father, he calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name, he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. And he hears me when I call.
Our next group song is Pass It On. So we pick up the pace a little bit for the next one here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And they are fantastic. They learn the song really quickly. It's another round song, so they're trying to figure out different parts. Thanks to Lane and Rianne Price for helping us out and get this. Do you want to share yours now?
Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones for him belong, they are weak and he is strong.
Thank you very much. Ira is going to share a scripture with us. He's going to put his ukulele to the side. Thanks for his accompaniment. Fantastic player.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 or 2 Peter 1, verse 3.
Thank you very much. Kelly, could you share a song with us? So we heard Kelly in her duet, so now she's going to sing a solo.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10.
Thank you very much. And we are going to have our last individual performer, Alina Price. Could you sing us your solo, please?
We have nothing to offer but a life laid down. We have nothing to give, just for your voice, for your words to sound. We have nothing to offer, just these empty hands for you to use. Our lives as empty pages for you to write upon. No goodness is ours, no merit or favor, no wisdom of our own can aid you at all. We have only what you've graciously given. Use our lives, Jesus, for your glory. No goodness is ours, no merit or favor, no wisdom of our own can aid you at all. We have only what you've graciously given. Use our lives, Jesus, for your glory.
We have two more group songs to share with you. The first one is Try a Little Kindness.
Come see, so.
All right, our final group song is God Loves You and We Love You. And they have some actions that go along with this. So let's make sure we get those actions going. Last song, so nice and loud. All right. Amen. Thank you so much, children. Special thank yous, Brenda Duick, for helping us with piano. Laurel also helped us with the piano during the week, Laurel Bodlin. Cindy Orsted, thank you. Cindy Orsted is always helping us out with the guitar and singing. And Corrine Amundsen is always helping us out as well. I don't know what we do without all the extra help. So if we can have a hand for those people too, it's just fantastic. It's nice to see all of these young people getting along so well with each other. We have some projects that stay in the storage cupboard upstairs, and they're kind of legacy projects that we get to look back on, and we see young people from days gone by and the work that they've done and who is in the young people from or the children's groups from days gone by. And we were looking at one the other day, and the biggest blessing that I was able to get from it is that the sheer number of people who are still in the pews as young people, teenagers, some of them even young married people that were part of a children's group like this once upon a time. It speaks to all of the work that parents are doing with their children to get them on this pathway, and we really appreciate that, parents. Thank you for getting them to Children's Church. Thank you for bringing them here. I know it's a lot of work each year. I know I've been there. I had 4 children, and the oldest wasn't even 6 showing up here. So it's a lot of work. Thank you. Keep doing it. Keep putting in the time. Keep bringing them here. The benefits will show. Thank you, children. Let's have a big round of applause again for them. Thank you. And you can go back to your seats now, okay?
Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful to see the children here. Tonight, the foreign field offering that we took totaled $82,692. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to take just a couple minutes of your time and talk about children just a little bit, and moms and dads and young people. We all love children. I love to see their innocence and their drama and their humor. And I'm going to start with, children were asked, small children, their opinion on love and marriage. And this is some of their definitions. If falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It takes too long. Glenn, age 7. Love is like an avalanche where you have to run for your life, John says, age 9. I think you're supposed to get shot with an arrow or something, but the rest of it doesn't supposed to be so painful, Manuel, age 8. No one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular, May, age 9. Love is the most important thing in the world, but baseball is pretty good too, Greg, age 8. Once I'm done with kindergarten, I'm going to find me a wife, said Tom, age 5. One of the people has freckles, and so he finds someone else who has freckles too, says Andrew, age 6. I'm not rushing into being in love. I'm finding fourth grade hard enough. Regina, age 10. I like Angie here. She says, most men are brainless, so you might have to try more than once to find a live one. Children were asked their opinion on beauty. What is beauty? If you want to be loved by somebody who isn't already in your family, it doesn't hurt to be beautiful. Anita, age 8. It isn't always how you look. Look at me. I'm handsome like anything, and I haven't got anybody to marry me yet. Brian, age 7. So how do people act when they're in love? Lovers will just be staring at each other, and their food will get cold. Other people care more about their food. Brad, age 8. They act mushy, like puppy dogs, except puppy dogs don't wag their tails nearly as much. Arnold, age 10. It's love if they order one of those desserts that's on fire. They like to order those because it's just how their hearts are, on fire. Christina, age 9. See if the man picks up the check. That's how you can tell if he's in love. Sean, age 9. Children were asked, what do your mom and dad have in common? Both don't want any more kids. Lori, age 8. How do you tell if two people are married? Married people usually look happy to talk to other people. Eddie, age 6. I like what Derek said, age 8. You might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. Now, how do you decide who to marry? You got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she should like that. She should like sports, and she should keep the gyps and tip dips coming. Kirsten says, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it always before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. Okay, so what are some strategies for making people fall in love with you? Tell them that you own a whole bunch of candy stores, Dell, age 6. Shake your hips and hope for the best, Camille, age 9. Yell out that you love them at the top of your lungs and don't worry that their parents are right there, Manuel, age 8. One way to take the girl out to eat. Make sure it's something she likes to eat. French fries usually works for me. Bart, age 9. Oh, there's all kinds of fun things here. Just a couple last ones here. Titles of love ballads. If you were to make a love ballad that you could sing to your loved one, what would the title be? I love hamburgers, I like you, Eddie, age 6. I am in love with you most of the time, but don't bother me when I'm with my friends, Bob, age 9. Honey, I got your curly hair and your Nintendo on my mind. Hey, baby, I don't like girls, but I'm willing to forget you are one. Will, age 7. So I just love the things the children say. They're always just a blast to be around, a great joy to see the children up here tonight and to see the way the parents are working with them. Deuteronomy 6, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 9, famous verses. This is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may do them in the land in which you're going to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God and you and your son and your son's sons. And then he goes on to say a little further, a couple of commands. He says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words that command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. In other words, tell your children these things of God all the time. Live it out. Live it out. Let it be a part of your life. Devotions are important, but more important than that is living out your faith every hour of the day. Teach these things to the children when you're in the way with them, when you lie down, when you rise up. And it you shall bind them as a sign in your hand. They should be as frontlets between your eyes. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's a commandment to children, just to obey mom and dad. But then he goes on to say, and this is actually, when Paul wrote this, this was a revolutionary idea. It really was. And he said, and you fathers, he writes to fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. He's speaking particularly to fathers and raise them in the training and the admonition and the love of the Lord. When Paul wrote that, fathers typically weren't loving fathers. The Romans have a thing called patria potestas in Latin. Talks about the father's power during the time when Paul wrote this. A Roman father had power over his family. He could actually sell his family member as a slave. He could make a family member work in the fields, even in chains. He could take the law into his own hands. He could punish any family member. He could even inflict the death penalty on his family. He had absolute control. And Paul comes along and tells the fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Those were tremendous ideas at that time. Tremendous ideas. I'm going to move on here quickly here. There was a study done at Harvard University a number of years ago that went something like this. They checked out children that were 5, 6 years old, took samples of them, interviewed them, and then they studied their home, and then they looked at these same kids years later, and they predicted, in 90% of the cases, they could predict if those kids were going to become delinquent, if they were going to get into trouble. They could predict future problems, and this is Harvard, just by four things that were present when they were 4 and 5 years old, or if they weren't there. The first one that they predicted in the home was the father's discipline if it was fair and consistent. That was important, particularly the father, the mother too. If it was fair and consistent. Discipline is important. Keep in mind, when we talk about discipline, you're talking about breaking the will, correcting the child, not breaking their bones. But discipline was important. The first factor was discipline, fair and consistent. Two was a mother's supervision. The mother was with the children, where the children were, and with the children. They were doing activities with the children. That was number two, how much time the mother spent with them. How active was the mother in their daily activities and so forth. The third one is a really, really interesting one. The third factor. The third factor was the mother and father's affection for one another was demonstrated. If that was in a home, it made that a safe home. When mom and dad loved each other and when mom and dad demonstrated to the children that they loved one another. I heard it said before that the greatest thing you can do for your children as a father is to love their mother and to show them that you love their mother and vice versa. And the fourth factor was a family's cohesiveness. Father, mother, children united together in life, just doing things together, just being together. Four factors. And they found that they could predict delinquent homes if those factors were missing. God has called men to be the head of the home. He's called men to be perhaps in an uncomfortable position, but he's called men to be godly men, and he's called women to be godly women. God loves men. God loves women. He loves men to be men. He loves women to be women. God has called man to be the head of the home. I'm reading from an article actually in the Sharon Star at the back of the room here called Show Thyself a Man, about how to be a man. And by the way, girls, if you're dating someone, I would recommend that you get this article. And when your boyfriend asks you out on a date, say, yeah, before you go on a date, I want you to read this. I want you to be this, just to see what it does. But anyway, I'm just going to read from the Sharon Star that's back there. This may place some in an uncomfortable position, but the man was placed in a marriage, in a home, to lead. God is looking for diligent, strong, manly leaders in homes. God is not looking for domineering, condescending slave masters to rule over their homes. He's looking for shepherds of the home, gentle warriors. They are to be men that love their families with a sacrificial love and who are willing, if necessary, to work long hours, to be cold and hungry if it means that their families are warm and have the provisions they need. God is calling men to step up to the plate and be men. Real men find time to sip tea with their tiny princesses and help with their homework. Real men help their little boys slay pretend dragons. They are active, present, and very involved in the lives of their children. They always find ways to hold, honor, love, and cherish the gift of the wise with which God has blessed them. Real manhood finds reasons to be home with their families instead of excuses for being away. Find a reason to be home. Godly manhood, princely manhood, the character of kings, comes only from a humble obedience to our Lord and Master. I recently came across a compiled list of statistics that paint a very sad picture of homes in North America when the father is missing. When the father is missing from a home by simply not being there, or a father can be in a home and still not be there. Be absent. 85% of youths in a prison are from a fatherless home. Visit a prison, do a survey. How many of you have a father in your home? 85% of them will not. 63% of youth suicides are from homes without a father. 71% of high school dropouts are from homes without an active father. Children are 15 times more likely to have behavioral problems when the fathers are missing. Children are 24% more likely to run away when fathers are missing. Children are 33 times more likely to be seriously abused, require medical attention when fathers are absent from their home. Teenage girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers when the fathers are missing. As King David said in his final words to his son Solomon, true manhood comes from obeying God, God's commands diligently, consistently, and humbly. I made a list, and I put it in the same article. I'm going to read something else here in just a minute, of commands that God has given, particularly to men. He's given to women, too. And I'll just read them to you quickly. He's commanded men to be the head of the wife, not a boss, not a tyrant, but a loving head. He's commanded men to love his wife as Christ loved the church. We could talk all night about that. A sacrificial love, displaying a willingness to give one's own life for his wife. He's commanded to love his wife as his own body, to nourish his wife, which means to bring up, care for, protect, to cherish his wife, which means to foster, to warm in one's bosom, to be joined as one flesh, to leave his parents for a wife, to cleave to his wife, to hold tightly, closely. And there are many other wonderful things there that men are commanded to do with their wives. Children learn what they live and what they see. If a child lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, they learn confidence. If a child lives with praise, they learn to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, they live with justice. If a child lives with security, they live to have faith. If a child lives with approval, they learn to be like himself. They learn to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world with other people. You know, one wonderful thing about children, good and bad, as parents, is they believe what you say, good or bad, when you raise children. If you teach them good things, they believe you. You teach them bad things, they believe you. It's so important to teach them right. I want to read a short little poem to you. "I got 2 A's, the small boy cried. His voice was filled with glee. His father very bluntly asked, why didn't you get 3? Mom, I got the dishes done, the girl called from the door. Her mother very calmly said, and did you sweep the floor? I mowed the grass, the tall boy said, and I put the mower away. His father asked him with a shrug, did you clean off the clay? The children in the house next door seemed happy and content. The same things happened over there, but this is how it went. I got 2 A's, a small boy cried. His voice was filled with glee. His father proudly said, that's great. I'm glad you live with me. Mom, I got the dishes done, the girl called from the door. Her mother smiled and softly said, each day I love you more. I mowed the grass, the tall boy said, and put the mower away. His father answered with much joy, you sure made my day. Kids grow and thrive on love and encouragement, and they will believe what you say. Young people, children, teenagers, build up a life. You start with a foundation. Build your life on a foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You start your life with a foundation. Build your life on a foundation. I'm just going to give you some quick advice here. Another piece of advice, young people, pick your friends very carefully. If you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's actually better to be lonely and have no friends than it is to have the wrong friends. Pick your friends carefully. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Pick your friends carefully. Young people, realize and understand that God created intimacy for marriage and only for their physical intimacy. Abstain from sex outside of marriage. Avoid places and activities and situations that brings temptation. Just stay away from it. Stay away from it. Marriage should be honored by all the Bible says, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Hebrews 13:4. Don't be in a big hurry to date. You don't have to date when you're 12 years old or you're 13 years old or you're 14. And I'm not going to say what the age is, but you don't have to be in a hurry just because your friends are. You know, don't fall to peer pressure. Don't be in a hurry to begin to go out. Don't get pulled into the system of the world. You don't even realize it, but the world is trying to squeeze you into a mold. There's a philosophy of the day of word and thought and speech and morals and entertainment, and the world wants to suck you into that. Stand strong and don't let the world pull you into their mold, into their way of thinking, and into the philosophy of the day. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, verse 1, by the mercies of a God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I said, be careful about the entertainment of the world. Learn how to take a stand. Learn how to be vocal. Tell people that you love them. Tell people that Jesus loves them. I notice at the wonderful memorial that young Shay was very vocal. She had quite a testimony. Quite a testimony. How many people have been introduced to eternity by her testimony? Take a stand. Don't be afraid to take a stand. You know, the old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Take a stand. You don't have to follow the crowd. Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, with the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We don't have to go along with popular opinion and the position and philosophy of the world. Take a stand. Another great thing to do to be successful, learn to pray. As little children, learn to pray. Learn to pray. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, not with wine. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, young people, you're also faced with alcohol consumptions out there. The whole world does it. And I want to just give you a warning. It doesn't belong in the church. And the reason I'm saying that is this. It's a dangerous thing. You can take the scriptures, and you can't make an argument and say that the Bible says you should never drink alcohol. I'll give you that. You can't say that. But there's many scriptures that will teach you it's very, very unwise, and it's very, very dangerous. I remember Vietnam War lasted for 11 years. Horrible, horrible war. Every night on CBS News and NBC, they used to have a body count. They started a thing back then in the 60s and 70s called a body count, and they would talk about how many people were killed in Vietnam during the war. 11 years, 55,000 Americans killed. Horrible. About 45,000 Americans every year die related to alcohol. Related to alcohol deaths. In 6 years in Iraq, there was about 4,000 people killed. Horrible. There were more people killed in 1 year on college campuses and alcohol-related deaths than there were in Iraq in about 6 years' time. Alcohol. There's nothing good that comes out of it. But the Bible promises and tells us, don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you want to be overcome with something, be overcome with the Holy Spirit. The other thing I want to say as a piece of advice, exactly what you're doing, attend church every Sunday, unless you have to be away. God is looking for that. You do that for God. He wants you to worship Him. Worship Him every Sunday. Don't make any excuses. Don't say, well, you know, I don't like the elder so-and-so, or I don't like this person, or whatever. You go to church every Sunday because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for God. That's the first thing. And try to go to at least one camp meeting every year. That's like a shot in the arm. When you come to these meetings and you leave, you can't leave the same way that you can. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen? Okay, what I'm going to do, this is a little unusual. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the young people have some activities, wiener roast, so forth. And I'm going to have, if someone has an announcement to make for their activities, I want you to come up. But what I'm going to do, we're going to let them make their announcement. We're going to let the children and young people that had their activities be adjourned. We're going to ask most of you to stay for a few moments afterwards. We want to take a few moments here and pray for the sick. There are some here. We have Brother Wendell is in the back who may only be here tonight. We want to take an opportunity to pray with him. There may be others that want to come up and have a touch from the Lord, a healing touch tonight, and we want to give opportunity for that tonight. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a moment. We're going to give announcements regarding the children. We're going to let them be adjourned so they can continue with their night. We're going to stay for just a few more moments for those that want a prayer for healing tonight. So are there any announcements regarding the children's activity tonight? Please come.
So the activity this evening is for the 11 and 12-year-olds, and it's a wiener roast. So when you're dismissed, you'll head out, you'll get changed, and then we'll meet out in the ball field at the fire pit that's out there at that point. So it's just the 11 and 12s that are headed out there this evening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we have someone come to the keyboard, please? I'm going to ask Brother Byron if you would come up and help, please. Byron Price. Let's stand for just a moment. I'm going to ask Brother Wendell Witter if you could. Could you make your way up here? If someone needs to walk with Wendell, please give him some assistance. Do you have a song that you'd like to sing? We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. Just take a moment here in your heart and in your spirit and just look to the Lord. We want to let that healing presence come right now and rest on this meeting. Amen? Before we start, I'm going to ask those in the congregation that have the gift of faith to stay right where you're at. But I want you to start praying. I'm going to rephrase that. I want you to start believing. Those that have the gift of faith right now, I want you to start believing for what God is going to do. Those that have the gift of healing, you lift your hands towards the front. If you have that gift of healing, you just raise your hands towards the front. Just direct that power, if you will, towards the front. We're going to let the Lord move tonight. If you have a need to be touched, I'd like you to just come up right now. If you have a need to be touched, even before we begin singing, just begin to make your way towards the front. And we're going to be praying for you. to pray, even for the first person, just bear with me. I'd like to ask, if you have the gift of faith or the gift of healing, if that's been prayed over you, I'm going to ask that you come up here on the platform, just up here, not down there. Just come up here behind us and reach your hands forward. If you have the gift of faith, if you've been prayed over with the gift of faith or the gift of healing, I want you to come up here facing those that need a touch right now.
Come as a rest to the weary.
Preparation work here before we even pray, it seems like. So I'm going to ask now that the brethren and various elders that have members up here, I'm going to ask that you respectfully come up here and just kind of just stand ready. Just stand behind people and just stand ready to pray. We need a couple brethren here with Brother Wendell and with everybody else. I just want you to come up and stand ready. Those up here are going to pray. And we're going to sing that again. We're just going to pause a moment and kind of wait on the Lord to kind of give us the go-ahead, if you will. Let's just stand ready as we prepare our hearts for the Lord to move.
Come as a wisdom to children.
just going to let the Lord begin to move and just pause a moment longer as the Holy Spirit is preparing our hearts for what He's about to do. Let's just sing that one more time, please. For. I'm also going to ask people that are standing in the front to start in your mind and heart and spirit, begin to accept your healing right now. Just begin to receive it as we're praying with you. And I'm going to ask those on the platform as they're praying for you to remain on the platform. But I'm going to ask as they look over the congregation, as they look at those in the front, if there's someone that they, as they look at them and they see them and they're on the heart, in your mind and heart, right where you're standing, you pray, direct your prayers specifically for that person as God leads you. We're going to pray from behind. We're going to pray from the front. We're going to pray from up above. And we're going to look to the Lord to move right here, right now.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Maybe if those at the front could come forward a little bit further to make room for others behind you. Praise God.
healing as well. You're praying for everybody else, but if there's anyone here that needs healing, you just come down to the pew and we'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
For a moment, I'd like to say a prayer here. We thank the Lord for everyone tonight, and we have those up here that have the gift of healing and the gift of faith, and it just occurred to me how much we need those, all of the gifts, to be alive and working at their full potential. And I'd like, as a congregation, we're not lifting anybody up, but as a congregation, we want to pray for those that have these gifts. We want them to be alive. We don't want them to be kind of in the background, but we want them to be alive and operating in their fullness. That doesn't put anybody on a pedestal, but tonight in your mind and spirit, let's just kind of pray for these power gifts, that they can begin to operate at 100% or 110%. Not in the background, but 100%. Heavenly Father, tonight I just pray a simple prayer on behalf of those that are standing on this platform, on behalf of those that are in the congregation, on behalf of those that are throughout the body of Christ throughout the world. I pray for every member, but at this moment, Lord, I'm particularly praying for those that have the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, my Father. We pray, my Father, that you will rejuvenate these gifts, that you will inspire them, that you will cause them to operate the way that you want them to operate at 100%, my Father. We pray, my Father, that all the gifts of the Spirit that you have given to us, my Father, may operate the way that you designed them to operate in the body, dear Lord, completely. We pray for those that stand on this platform tonight. We bless them as a congregation. We pray for those, my Father, throughout the body that contain these gifts and the other gifts, that you would inspire, rejuvenate, and set them on fire, my Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. With our eyes closed, and as we focus on the Lord. And for those of you in your homes that are getting this by streaming, even in your homes, we would like to pray for you. And those of us who are in this meeting room, we may have left someone at home, someone we would have known that they are sick. There is no limit to God's healing power. We are coming to God with the faith of the centurion. He came to Jesus and he believed the Lord. And Jesus spoke to him, but his faith was far above that. His faith said, he said to the Lord, just say the word. Say the word. There's no distance in the healing virtue and power of God. There is a wonderful healing fountain that has burst forth here and ministering that healing unto us. He sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destructions and fears. This is our God. His healing virtue is present here to heal those in your homes. For those that are streaming and in your home, if you're sick and you need that healing touch, if there's some other one with you at home, just join with them. Rest your hands on your computer or whatever device that you're in tune with this in streaming, and believe God as we pray. Some may have been in their rooms and camp here because of being unwell. We could reach to them by faith. This is no limitation here. Let's not limit the Lord, for He is mighty. He is great. He has begun to do some wonderful things in this circle and our faith. Father, in Jesus' name, we curse every doubt and unbelief. And Lord, we come to You because You are our God. And Lord, You know the sicknesses. You know the diseases. You know the ailments. And Father, we know You made the human body upon the faith and the authority of Your word. We believe You, Lord. If two shall agree, tonight we are more than two. We believe You, Lord. We stand upon the bedrock of Your word. This says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeking You. Father, in Jesus' name, we pronounce healing in homes. We pronounce healing in lives. We pronounce healing. Touch our bodies. Touch our spirits. Touch our souls. And make us every whit whole in our homes, in our lives, dear God. We thank You for spiritual healing. We thank You for physical healing. We thank You for psychological healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we agree one with another, we pray for healing of those who may not have come forward here. Be healed in Jesus' name. Those in our homes, those of our friends that we left behind, we say the word, be healed in Jesus' name. Upon the authority of Your word, Lord, we claim that healing, for healing is Your children's bread. You will not withhold bread from Your children. Be healed in our homes. Be healed in our lives. Let the healing virtue flow. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. Let there be healing in the house. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' mighty name for doing this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Servant will be here. Say the word.
I didn't come up here for healing. And I've noticed how people hold their hands up. Some hold it like this and some hold it way up high. And over the last 15, 20 years, I haven't been able to hardly get my left, right arm behind my head unless I put my head way down. And I realized after standing and holding my hands up, I had it way up here for a long time. And there was no pain and no effort. So I'd just like to ask you to pray for me that it's still like this tomorrow and the day after.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We can be seated, please. I feel impressed just to give it you a crash course, not an all-night thing, just two or three basic instructions. We have prayed for healing in this house, and healing has begun. There was a tremendous anointing of healing here, and we have to believe the Lord. Amen. Let's not give place to doubt and unbelief. God says it, we believe it, because He can do it. Amen. Let's get very aggressive in our faith. And what I wanted to tell you, when we go back to our dorms or rooms, or if you call up someone we would have prayed for, they might say, you know, I was prayed for in my hands and I'm still getting the pains. But I want to tell you something, that symptoms come and symptoms go. Symptoms come tomorrow and symptoms go. But our faith will have to remain steadfast on the bedrock of God's word. What He says, He will perform. What He has promised, He will bring to pass. This is in the realm of the divine. Let us get serious with God. Let us believe Him. Let us put our faith on the line. And let's continue as a group of people, as the ecclesia that God has sent. So tonight when you go, you just be thanking the Lord for that healing. Just be praising Him. But you say, oh, Brother Robert, I'm getting a pain. In Jesus' name, I'm thanking you, Lord, for that deliverance and healing. Amen. Keep on that trail. Amen. Don't slip back. Do you hear me? Yes. Don't slip back. That's what the enemy wants, to challenge our minds and our faith. Whatever thoughts come to you, rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. Amen. He's our healer. Amen? Amen? So let's keep along that vein. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I think we have some announcements, and those who are responsible. Stand. And like our brother said, if we can raise our hands like this or like this, just raise your hands. Our Father and our God, we thank you for what a night, what a privilege to worship you, to praise you. What an awesome opportunity to experience your power, your healing virtues, dear Lord. And Father, we pray, dear God, as we sever one from another, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, rest, remain, and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say,
amen.
And some say,
amen.
And others say,
amen.
And amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Dismissed.